Welcome to the special bonus for the Tapping Solution for Weight Loss and Body Confidence. This is Jessica Ortner, and it's really an honor to be able to have a conversation with a man who is changing the world, and I really mean that. Dr. Mark Hyman has dedicated his career to identifying and addressing the root causes of chronic illness through a groundbreaking whole system medicine approach, which is known as functional medicine. He is a family physician and I think it's up to 9 times New York Times bestselling author, and he's internationally recognized leader in the field. You can actually read a great article that the New York Times wrote about him and the work he's done with Hillary and Bill Clinton. Welcome, Dr. Hyman.
Thank you for having me, Jessica.
Thank you. So is it 9 times New York Times bestselling author?
Well, you're seeing the future, I hope. It's
okay.
Only 8, but I've got 3 new books coming out, so hopefully it'll be 13.
I can't keep up. Well, it's, you know, I'm such a fan of your work, and I know that you're a fan of tapping, and since this book is about tapping, I thought that would be a great place to start. What do you believe happens to our body when we have a lot of stress, and why is a stress relief technique like tapping so helpful for someone who's looking to lose weight?
Well, you know, one of the things we know about stress is that it changes your physiology like instantly, right? So it shifts your body into a state of fat storage. It spikes cortisol, which is a fat storage hormone. It increases insulin, which is another fat storage hormone. And it makes you hungry and crave, which is why we all eat when we're stressed, including me. So the idea is, how do we begin to learn tools and techniques to reset our physiology so that we actually metabolize our food better, we shift into fat burning instead of fat storage, and how do we identify ways to do that are easy, accessible, simple to do, like tapping or breathing, which is my favorite, because
right.
We always have our breath with us.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's really such a powerful strategy that most people don't take advantage of, and it's underestimated. You know, we know that, for example, if you look at the physiology of stress, when you're stressed, it actually changes the connections. Your stress nerves are literally connected to your fat cells, and it shifts them into a disease state, and it actually slows their fat burning. And so when you breathe or relax or do tapping, you actually can shift your entire physiology into fat burning instead of fat storage, literally by how you're affecting your fat cells.
Yeah, it's incredible. And you know, many of us in the past, when we tried to lose weight, it's common to have that pattern of panicking, jumping to a diet, and then, you know, trying to restrict calories as well as eat foods that say low fat and whole grain. Why are these strategies not effective for most of us?
Well, you know, there's a couple of things that happen. If you actually restrict your calories, you will perceive, your body will perceive that you're in a state of alarm, of starvation, of emergency, of danger. So when you have that state of danger, then your body is going to shift into the stress state, and then you'll start into fat storage, and you'll change your physiology so that you compensate for the restriction in calories by slowing your metabolism, by increasing hunger, by actually making your body conserve more energy and shift into fat storage. So you slow your metabolism, you shift into fat storage, and you're hungry. That doesn't sound like a great strategy for weight loss.
Right.
So the other thing that happens is, you know, when we focus on eating certain, you know, just focusing on calories and not eating the right foods, we really create huge trouble with our physiology. The whole concept of calories in, calories out also is wrong. It's not just calorie restriction, but even thinking that calories really are the thing we should be focused on is a myth. We have to realize that not all calories are the same, that fat calories are different than sugar calories, that, in fact, it's the sugar calories that drive your body into fat storage. And that's what we want to really avoid, is that whole process of fat storage. And sugar calories act very differently in the body. So it's really important to understand how we can shift all those things and shift the body into a more healing state.
Right. Well, let's talk about sugar, because in the book I do address salt, sugar, fat, and how even when we deal with the emotions that could be leading us to overeat, when we eat certain foods, we could become addicted to them, and it's really hard just to have one. So tell us about how these foods are manufactured and what is actually going on in our body that's making it so hard to stop.
Well, here's what we're learning, and this is really frightening, that the foods that we're eating today are biologically addictive. And there's a movie coming out May 9th called Fed Up about childhood obesity and about the power of sugar as an addictive compound in our food supply. There's 600,000 processed foods on the market. 80% of them contain added sugar. Most of them we have no clue. For example, your morning yogurt has more sugar than a can of Coke. Your breakfast cereal is 75% sugar. It shouldn't be called breakfast. It should be called dessert. Your tomato sauce you put on your pasta has more sugar than two Oreo cookies. So these are all hidden sugars, and the food industry has deliberately inserted these foods ingredients into our food supply to drive cravings, to drive addiction, and to change our physiology into those of an addict, where we want more and more. And then we begin to look at the implications of how this affects the body. And this is not a metaphor. It's actually scientifically proven. And there's a book I wrote called The 10-Day Detox Diet, which is really documenting the science behind the biology of food addiction. And in this process, what happens is we begin to see the same patterns as an addict. It lights up the brain in the same place as heroin or cocaine. People experience withdrawal symptoms when they get off these foods, like sugar. They experience tolerance, meaning they need more and more of the substance to make them feel good. And they continue to use the substances in ways that harm them, even though it's harmful. We know, for example, in animal studies, that rats keep drinking sugar even while they continue to get electric shocks. So the shocks don't even deter them from continuing to eat the sugar. And that's exactly what happens to us humans. We keep eating even though we grow sick and fat and know it's hurting us.
Mm-hmm. You know, I found this knowledge to be so incredibly empowering when I decided to change my diet and to stop having so much sugar. I was having detox symptoms, and I was able to use the tapping to help deal with the detox. But it was so good to know what was going on with my body, that what it was a withdrawal, the same way that someone withdraws from a drug.
Absolutely. I mean, we have to use whatever strategies we can. And, you know, my book, The 10-Day Detox Diet, I go through a number of different strategies that you can do to reset the withdrawal symptoms, to minimize them, and to actually help your body get through that period of addiction and withdrawal.
I also want to talk about allergies. I think it's so important when, you know, when I change my focus from obsessing over the latest fad diet to just paying attention to the way my body reacted to certain foods, that's when I had the biggest shift. So what are some of the, you know, what is an allergy? I know you talk about it in your book, The Blood Sugar Solution. What do you mean when you say kind of these allergies, and what are some of the most common allergies that could be affecting our health and our weight?
Well, aside from addiction, there's another thing that can happen, which is that certain foods that we're eating have become inflammatory for different reasons, because of genetic hybridization, because of the increased number of proteins that are inflammatory in the foods, particularly gluten and dairy. And I think that we have to understand that there is a group of people who are in an addiction craving cycle. They're addicted to they're craving the foods they're addicted to, and that's one thing. But there's also an inflammatory craving cycle where you crave the foods that cause inflammation, because it sounds paradoxical, but they help your body sort of stay in a chronic low-level state. But when you stop eating them, you actually feel worse. So when people are eating gluten and dairy, they're often very inflamed, and it can make them very sick. I just was at a conference with Arianna Huffington, and I don't think was there. I might have seen him. And, you know, she looked great, and she lost a bunch of weight. I said, Arianna, what did you do? She said, I cut out dairy. I found I was allergic to it. I lost 20 pounds. And I think this is what we find, is that people who, when they get off the most common foods they react to, gluten and dairy, they actually lose significant amounts of weight because they cut out the inflammation that's driving the weight.
Right. I share a story in the book that my brother Alex used to wake up and blow his nose for the first 20 minutes of the day. And when he cut out dairy, he was able to get off his allergy medicine. He always thought it was just outside allergies. So I've seen how incredible it is. But that being said, Alex did notice that when he goes to Argentina and has grilled provolone cheese at this certain place where they make it fresh, that he can't eat a lot of it. He still has a sensitivity to dairy, but he doesn't have the same reaction to it, which, you know, brings up this conversation about looking at quality. And I know that one thing that you call yourself is a qualitarian. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, we've really adulterated our food supply. When we look at what we're eating, you know, we think we're eating a tomato or an apple, but we're actually eating some version of that that's been altered and hybridized and changed, that's been grown in conditions and soils that don't promote the same quality of the food that we ate 100 years ago. So before, you know, the industrial agriculture revolution, everybody ate organic food that was local, seasonal, grass-fed, organic. And they didn't call it that, but that's what it was. That's what my grandmother ate, and your great-grandmother ate. There was nothing else.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing was other than heirloom. There was no other foods than heirloom foods. And so when we've changed, for example, the wheat, we've changed the quality of it so that it has more proteins that are from different genes that actually create inflammation. It has much higher levels of starch. It has proteins that create addiction. And that when we eat, for example, dandelion greens versus spinach, we get far greater numbers of nutrients and phytonutrients. So it's really about the quality of the food we eat. And it's hard to get perfect quality food everywhere you go, but the higher quality of the food, the higher the quality of the nutrients, and the higher quality of your health. And I think we should be focusing on how, wherever we can, to increase our consumption of those and also find ways to grow our food locally. So I have a little garden. In the summer, I have an herb garden. It's not a big garden, but it's something small, and it helps me eat more foods that are really local and really seasonal and really organic and delicious.
Right.
And I know exactly what's happening there.
Yeah. So if someone's really looking to change their life, what are the type of foods that they should be turning to? I mean, I think what's nice about your approach is that we kind of are demystifying this idea that we need to eat diet foods to lose weight and that there's like a certain fruit that burns belly fat. I mean, this seems pretty basic. But what are some of the foods that are really great for us that we should be incorporating into our diet?
Well, I think the majority of our diet should be plant foods. And when I say plant foods, I'm talking about specific low-sugar plant foods, particularly lots of vegetables. So I would say 75% of my diet is vegetables, nuts and seeds, and low-glycemic fruit, which is things like berries or apples. And the vegetables would be the non-starchy vegetables, like dark green leafy vegetables, asparagus, green beans, Brussels sprouts, mushrooms, green peppers, salad vegetables. There's a whole list of them in my book, The 10-Day Detox Diet. And you can eat all these in much quantity as you want. I mean, I literally will make 2 cups or 3 or 4 cups of greens, and I'll eat the whole amount with olive oil and garlic and ginger, a little salt. Very simple to prepare, very quick, and extremely filling and delicious.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then I have nuts and seeds like hemp seeds, chia seeds, pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, walnuts, almonds, macadamia nuts, pecans, and also I have coconut. I love coconut because coconut butter, even though it's called a saturated fat, it's not bad for you. Most of our myths about fat are really a problem. It's my next book is going to be on the myths about fat. And we really, you know, try to eat a really nutrient-dense diet that's full of antioxidants and phytonutrients, lots of fiber, and then good quality protein. So small fish like sardines, good quality farm eggs or organic eggs, small other fish that we can get that's either sustainably raised or sustainably harvested, grass-fed animal products in small amounts. So meat becomes more of a condiment than a staple.
Right, right. And, you know, you mentioned a few times your 10-day detox diet. And, you know, I had actually, last time I saw you, I had a conversation with you about it because my life changed when I stopped jumping from like one diet to another because I had such an unhealthy relationship with food that I would diet, you know, for a certain amount of time and then turn, and then out of this pressure, this pain, and then I'd turn back to emotionally eating. And when I changed the way that I emotionally felt around my food, that's when I had the biggest shifts in my body. But I do really believe in detoxing. So how is this different than a fad diet? Because, you know, I get nervous. I never want to tell people to do some kind of diet because the thing about a diet is it has a beginning and an end. And people think like, well, I just have to do this for this amount of days and this is and then it's over. But you're really about changing your life moving forward. So I like to detox and retox. But and I do it very consciously.
You know, so, I think that I created something called the 10-day detox diet because not in the sense of a detox as a juicing or cleanse, but in the sense of getting off of sugar because it's just like a drug like heroin or cocaine. You need to do a detox to cut the cravings and shift everything. So I think that's really, really important. I think that's really the purpose of that. And I think people do need to get a reset, a really clear and powerful reset.
Yeah.
And I think that's really the purpose of that. I think we really want to get people to do it because it breaks the cycle, it gives them empowerment to change their health and their life. And it really is something that also builds a strategy for lifelong health. It's not just so much about the quick fix. It's about a long-term set of strategies that help you get healthy. And that's really the purpose of the book, and it's the purpose of each of the 10 days, is to give you the structure to learn the tools to succeed for life.
And this is what I like about all of your books, is that when I read them, they make sense, and it's different things that you can implement into your life forever. It's very educational, and I think we have to stop putting our health in other people's hands. We need to take some more responsibility at looking at our own body and educating ourselves.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We all have the power. It's like Dorothy in her ruby red slippers. You just click your heels 3 times and you actually get to be wherever you want, back in Kansas. You know, I think you can actually quickly get healthy and learn the skills and tools you need to take care of yourself rather than depending on somebody else. Health doesn't happen in the doctor's office. Health happens where you live,
yeah,
and where you eat and where you work and where you learn, where you pray. All those places is where health happens.
Yeah. And talking about what sometimes leads us to the doctor's office, we tend to have different symptoms. And, you know, a lot of the work that I do is teaching people that your body isn't betraying you. You know, a lot of women feel a lot of shame around their body, and they feel unlucky, like they were born with a bad body. And, you know, I write about how your body isn't betraying you, but it's just trying to get your attention, that it needs some extra care. So, you know, whether that's with, you know, gas or you know, bloating or constipation, what are some of the other symptoms that you find that people have that tend to be a very clear sign that they have to be looking at their diet?
One of the most fundamental things people don't realize is the things that make you sick make you fat, and the things that make you fat make you sick. So it's all a continuum, and I think people don't realize that what you can do very quickly is change your health by changing your metabolism. And when people change their diet quickly, what happens is that they not only see a reduction in weight. In fact, we did this whole approach where we had a 62% reduction in all symptoms from all diseases in 10 days by people doing this program, the 10-day detox. And not only did they lose, you know, an average of 4,000 pounds, this group of 600 people, but they reduced their waist by 2 inches and their blood sugar by 20 points and blood pressure by 10 points. But they had a 62% reduction in all symptoms from all diseases in 10 days. There's no drug on the planet that can do that, whether it's irritable bowel or migraines or joint pain or fatigue or insomnia or depression or sinus problems, like you said, your brother had, or congestion. Whatever it is, whether it's brain fog or food fog or, you know, itchy butt, it all often goes away when you get off of the foods that are making you sick and making you fat. And it's really what the whole 10-day detox is about. It's really using food as medicine, where you eat your medicine. You know, a guy came up to me after a talk the other night, and he said, "Dr. Jaime, I just want you to know, I'm 7 years old. I got off 52 units of insulin by doing your program. I lost 40 pounds, and I'm sleeping. And everything changed for me when I realized I could actually eat my medicine. I didn't have to take pills."
Right.
And that's exactly what I want people to realize, that they're only a few days away from health and happiness, and it's that powerful.
Yeah, I love that you need to eat your medicine. And not only the way that your body physically changes, but there is also emotional and mental benefits to eating in this way. Can you talk a little bit about the transformations you feel that people have, you know, emotionally when they begin to eat better?
Absolutely. You know, people often ascribe their emotional problems to some kind of psychological issue. And they don't realize that often it's related to what they're eating. And when you change your diet, you will see your mood change. I was on the Dr. Oz show the other day, and they did a whole group of people doing the 10-day detox. And they had two of them on the show. One of them had lost 11 pounds and got rid of her migraines, and the other one was lost 10 pounds, and she said, "No, I want to call it the anti-bitchiness diet, because I was always in a bad mood and irritable, and all of a sudden I'm happy and in a great mood." And I think people don't realize the connection between their mood and the food they eat.
Right. That's fantastic. You know, another thing that you're really passionate about is working with the government to begin to change the landscape, you know, of our food environment. us as mm-hmm. consumers, what can we begin to do? Actually, two questions. Can you let us know kind of what the landscape is right now, and what can we do as consumers to begin to make changes so that eating fresh, real food is something that's easier and more accessible?
Absolutely. So one of the things that I'm really focused on is not just changing individuals' health, but changing the health of communities and changing health policy. And I've done a lot of work in those areas, like work with Vic Warren, where we got his community, his church, to 15,000 people to lose 250,000 pounds by doing it together, because we realized we're better together and we get healthy together, and that getting healthy is a team sport. But we also are looking at our larger initiatives. I'm part of a movie that's coming out called Fed Up, which is about childhood obesity and food policy and the food industry. And it really calls to task some of the problems that are happening in our food system and our food supply. So we're really working on a lot of initiatives there. And we're working in advocacy all across the spectrum. In fact, we'll be looking at a lot of different initiatives. For example, if you look at the areas of Mexico, for example, where they looked at their increasing obesity and diabetes rates, where they had 20% of their calories were from soda, they said, look, we got to stop this. It's bankrupting our country. We're seeing dramatic rises in diabetes. In fact, a study coming out this week where we found that there's a 30% increase in type 2 diabetes now in kids in the last 10 years. So it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And they said, we have to stop this. And they said, there's four things we know that work that have been done around the world, including a sugar tax, including ending food marketing of junk food, including getting anything junky or processed or makes kids sick out of all schools, and having clear food labeling that actually makes sense so that people know what they're eating. It should say, you know, green, eat it, yellow, caution, red, stay away, or, you know, eat at your own risk, like cigarettes. So you'll die if you smoke these. So I think that's what we should be having, so people can actually know what they're doing. And those are the kinds of policy changes that really need to happen.
Right. So then what can we do to help make that happen?
Well, I think we have to all be activists in our own community. And I think we need to really focus on the things we can do by changing our schools, by changing what's in our homes, by changing what we put in our shopping cart, what we put on our kitchen table, by having family dinners, by teaching our kids about food, by having community gardens, by working to advocate for changes in the schools that we are in, and in your workplace where you can make changes, where you can change what's happening in your faith-based community. These are where things can really stick and make a difference.
Right. And I think that when we come from that place, our focus isn't on, let me just, you know, lose weight, but let me live an extraordinary life and begin to support the community. And not only does it help our health, but it helps our emotions. It helps our ability to act and really make the world a better place.
Absolutely. I think that's the whole key here. It's not just getting healthy for health's sake. It's getting healthy so you can actually have capacity to do something that's going to make a contribution to a better world. We all want to live in a way that is changing the world for the better. And I think most of us don't feel good enough, and we just want to sit at home and watch TV because we feel like crap. You know, when I joke and say, you know, I want to get rid of people who have FLC syndrome by giving them a way of eating that makes them feel good and healthy. And that's ending what I call FLC syndrome, which is when you feel like crap.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you for helping us not feel like crap and to really thrive and make the world a better place, and for taking the time. I know you're incredibly busy, so we all really appreciate it.
My pleasure. I'm so excited to be joining you and helping you, and I'm excited about your book, and I think it's important to address the whole psycho-emotional component. I've sent a lot of people, my patients, to tapping and have found great results, so I'm excited that you guys do what you do, and I can partner with you guys to make the world a better place.
Oh, thank you.